Appreciate it. The Bible often uses word pictures to express to us different ideas. Jesus really was one to use the word pictures. He taught us in parables, which gave us ideas and that were stories with a lesson. When we look at the idea of being a Christian and serving the Lord, the change that takes place when we become a Christian, there are several word pictures in the Bible for that. And I think that, there we go. My battery is about to go down, so... But anyway, let's see if we can get back to where we start with. Some pictures in the New Testament that describe the Christian. Go back one more. There we go. So what are some of those? Well, Paul mentions some here in Colossians. A couple of weeks ago, Joe, on a Wednesday night, Joe Harriman, challenged us to go back and to look at the book of Colossians again. And so I did, and I haven't preached out of the book of Colossians for some time. And so what I found was just exactly what he said, and there's so much. So many great and powerful lessons in the book of Colossians. Last week we looked at Colossians chapter 4 and the peace that God offers us as children. Today I want us to look at Colossians chapter 2 and chapter 3. Some of those word pictures that come to us are, well, Paul, for example, talks about being a new creature. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians that I'm still not back. There we go. There we go. Now I'm working. Got this thing working. When it works right, doesn't it? Paul calls it being a new creature. When you become a child of God, when you're baptized into Christ, in 2 Corinthians verse 5 and verse 27, or 17, he says that we are new creatures. And then again, Paul here in Colossians talks about being, my battery's gone, so it's skipping. I don't know if we're going to be able to do this or not this morning, but we'll see. He tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9, that the old self, what used to be the old self, is gone. And now in verse 10, that we have a new self. And then Jesus talks about a new birth in John 3 and verse 5. What these are trying to tell us, what all of these passages and many, many more are trying to tell us, is that becoming a Christian is not just adopting a new lifestyle. It is becoming a new person. People, what we don't realize sometimes is that when we obey the gospel, when we become a Christian, when we take on the name of Christ, we've got to change something. Things in our life have to change. And this is something we really need to try to impress upon our young people, especially these young ones that are being baptized, that it's not just being baptized by Grandpa or Jeremy or Preacher Larry, but it is taking on a new responsibility. It is becoming a new person. Now, that doesn't happen immediately. It's not like there's something magic in the water that just,
when that one is baptized, all of a sudden they just become this awesome and wonderful creature that's called a Christian. It's a process that we have to go through, that we learn and we work and we grow, and it lasts for a lifetime. It's a change that completely takes place as long as we live. And we're still working on that same situation of being this new person, of being this new creature, of being this new life. And this is what Paul wanted to try to get across to us. This is the concept of these passages of Scripture today in Colossians 2 and Colossians 3. I'd like to mention three things that Paul says that we have to do and need to do in order to become these new things, these new creatures that we're supposed to be. He said that there are some things that we have to die to. There are some things that we live for. And there is a power in our life that helps us to accomplish those things. Paul said that there are some things to which we have to die to. What happens is that we no longer seek to serve evil or sin. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be times whenever those things are in our life. Because again, this is the process that we're working on. To take our lives and change them to where our focus and our purpose is different. It's just like here this past week, the cold weather moved in. Kind of felt good. It kind of is nice. But boy, was it not a change. Now, because of that, the temperature in our house is going to change. It got colder in the house. We even turned on our heaters, as I did here in the auditorium this morning. So it's still going to be the weather is going to affect inside our house, but we don't open the doors and the windows and just let it come in. We close the doors, we close the windows so that we can keep the cold out. And that's what's happening whenever we become a Christian. We start shutting the doors on sin and a sinful life and sinful things and things that would lead us astray. Now, it's still going to affect us, but we're making every effort we can to keep it out. And that's what Paul is going to try to tell us here. He calls it dying to those things that are evil, dying to those things that are sinful. And here's how he says it. If you have died to these things, then the change will take place. In our Wednesday night class, Mike has been doing some word studies. And one of the words that we've been studying is the word if. And really, it's been a really neat thing because he pointed out, and I think this is a perfect passage, that many times, and a good part of the times in the New Testament, when the word if is used, it's not asking a question, but it's making a statement. And so here when Paul says, if you have died, then these things will happen.
And Mike pointed out that that word often means since you. It's making a statement. Since you have died, since you have become a Christian, since you have obeyed the gospel, since you have been baptized into the blood of Christ, this is what will take place. Number one, you will die to things that are not Christian. You will try to keep those things out of your life. And Paul mentions a couple of specific things here in this book of Colossians. And what he mentions is the man-made rules or the ordinances. Now, for the Colossians, what he was talking about was the fact that the Judaizing teachers and these false teachers were coming in and saying, you still need to keep the rules of the old law, the burning of incense and the traditions. And Paul was saying that those things have passed away. They're not profitable anymore. To make that relevant in our day and age is certainly easy, because very much of our thinking in our world today is, I'm going to do my own thing. If God wants me to be happy, and I know He does, He's too good a God, He's too awesome a God, so He wants me to be happy, so it's all right for with God if I do this, or if I become this, or if I change my gender, or whatever. Whatever makes me happy is okay. And many people are buying into that to some extent or another, because it's easy. And that's a very, very popular thing. A religion where I can just do whatever I want to do. I make up my own rules. Well, that's not the way it happens. When we give ourselves to the Master, when we say, Jesus, I want you as the Savior in my life, we say, I am going to let you be the guide. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And I know that I cannot go to the Father except by you. I mean, you know, think about this. As a father or as a mother and parent, is that a good philosophy to raise your children? Your daughter comes in and says, Daddy says, it'd make me happy if I could have the car anytime I wanted it. Go anywhere I want and use as much gas as I want, and you pay for it. That'd really make me happy. You're going to say, all right, baby. Now, I'm not talking about grandparents. I'm talking about parents. Would that be the way you want to raise her? Sure, darling, that's fine. If it makes you happy, just feel free. Well, Dad, there's a party down at the lake, and there's going to be some alcohol and all. It really would make me happy if I could just go. Well, baby, that's fine. If it makes you happy, I want you to be happy. So you just do anything you want to do. You raise your children like that. Why, absolutely not. So what makes us think that God as a father is just going to say, do your own thing? If it doesn't make sense to us as physical fathers, how can we possibly in any intellectual way think that that's going to be all right with God? It's not. And it never will be. And so that's what the first thing that Paul deals with here. He says, if you are a Christian, you have died to making up your own rules.
As a new creature, you have made a new promise, a new commitment. When you said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you were baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you become a new creature with a new purpose, with a new direction, and with a new guide. And you are saying, God, I want you to direct my life because you know the way back home. You know the way to heaven. And I want to follow what you are doing. And so we have to make this decision to die to those things and become new people. Well, Paul also points out not only are there things that we need to die to, but there are things that we need to live for. The positive part of being a Christian. In here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul writes and says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him, Jesus, from the dead. And Paul again writes this very thing in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, where he says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his, watch it now, into his death. Therefore we have been buried. He's carrying this concept of dying and then becoming alive. We have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Death, life. Died, buried, raised as a new creature. So there's two aspirations that are essential now, Paul says. Whenever we are raised to become this new creature. In chapter 3 and verse 1 he says, we need to seek those things that are above. What are you looking for in life now? Well, you're looking for those things that will increase your spirituality and not drag you down into a sinful world. You're looking, seeking, trying to find. What are you seeking, Paul said? You need to be seeking those things that are above. He's talking about spiritual things, heavenly things. It doesn't mean that you can't live in this world. You must. We do. But what he's trying to say is this takes place in our heart, in our attitudes, in what I'm looking for. What am I looking for now as a Christian that entertains me? And we all enjoy those things. We all enjoy those things in life that entertain us. But now we start looking for those things that would not only be things we enjoy doing, but things we could enjoy doing as a Christian. I enjoy riding my horses, and so I do that. And there are good people that I meet that when I'm doing that. Coming up this week, this Friday, there's a group of men from the church here that are going to go pheasant hunting together. An enjoyable thing, but they're going to do it as Christians. Right now, one of the reasons why there's so many empty seats here is that a group of our men are fishing together, Lee's fishing weekend, up at Bull Shoals.
And they're in services this morning. And the reason why that you don't see many of our young people is that Jeremy has them at a youth retreat this weekend. Those are good things. Those are things that we can do that are still that very much enjoyable, but they are enjoyable in a Christian setting. And so look for those things. That's what he's saying. Seek those things that are above. And in doing that, you seek those things that are that make you more spiritual. How can I use my talent? What can I do in the worship service to use my talent to become more spiritual? Can I read my Bible more? We're looking for these things. And then Paul goes on to say, and set your heart on things above and not on things of this earth. We can worship God without worshiping God from our heart. And it wouldn't be pleasing to Him. We can come to the worship and we can sing these songs with our lips and not with our heart, and it doesn't please God. We can partake of these emblems that represent the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. And I really did appreciate, Mike, your prayers this morning that tried to get us to remember what this is for. But we can take it with our lips, but if our heart is somewhere else, that feast was, it just didn't please God. And Jesus said this, that you can draw nigh to me with your lips, but your heart, watch this now, but your heart is far from me. So this being a new creature is not just cleaning up the outside appearance. That's what we were talking about in our very first thought this morning. That is not just adopting a new lifestyle. It's not just sweeping off the porch. It's cleaning up the whole house. It's a change. And to do that, you set your thoughts and your heart and your mind on spiritual things. And look at the tone at which Paul says this. He says, set your... It's our responsibility. This is our response. You set your heart. You set your mind. The responsibility falls on me. Not on that things which are on the earth, he says, but the things which are in heaven. And then finally this morning, Paul says that we don't have to do this by ourselves. This change, responsibility, but we don't have to work on this ourselves because we've got the Master to help us. Here are some good passages of Scripture for you to listen to. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Philippians 1, 20 and verse 21. This is a good one. Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Romans 6 and verse 6. Knowing that this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. When we became Christians, we surrendered our lives to Jesus as our Lord and Master. So what happens then when we stumble? We always have a way back home. Because now we have a power that lifts us up instead of pushes us down. So this morning, have you made that decision to die to this world and be raised to walk with Jesus? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Or has the world become more important than it needs to be? Have you opened those doors of your life and the cold wind of sin is blowing through your heart? Let us help you close those doors. Ask God's forgiveness and the power of His strength to help you to be a better person, the person that you ought to be. Willing to do that? Jesus has died so that you could. The angels of heaven are leaning at heaven's door, hoping that you'll make that decision. Will you come while together we stand and sing?